All right, good morning, good morning. A great morning to be together in the house of the Lord with the family of God, amen? Last week, we had the ACs on all through the building and it was still warm. Today I came in, we had turned, of course, all the furnaces off, so we had to start the furnaces all back up. The one in here just didn't want to light, so finally after like six tries, it finally decided to light, and we had some heat. So, yeah, what a difference, huh? So, who remembers what book of the Bible we're going through this spring and summer? Acts of the Apostles. Thank you. So, the Acts of the Apostles allow us to see what the early church was like. And we can say, okay, this was what the early church was like. This is what Jesus sent them out to do. How do we compare? So that's what we're going to be able to look at this spring and summer. So if you want to open to Acts, that's where we are. And we are in Acts 2, verse 37. And I want to read it to you from two different translations. Acts 2, 37. So if you remember last time, we talked about the fact that Jesus told all of his disciples, 120 of them, to gather together and stay together until they received what the Father had promised. And we discovered together that that was the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit came, empowered them to be witnesses. And guess what? Peter stood up and he witnessed. So he had just told the whole crowd about Jesus and why he came. And this is where we pick this up. Now when they heard this, the things which Peter just said about Jesus, they were cut to the heart with remorse and anxiety. I'm reading the Amplified. And they said to Peter and the apostles, brothers, what are we to do? Now that we've heard this, how should we respond? And Peter said to them, repent, change your old way of thinking, turn from your sinful ways, accept and follow Jesus, and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, because of the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you, and your children, and as many as the Lord our God calls to himself. That's us. We're right there. And Peter solemnly testified and continued to admonish and urge them with many words, saying, be saved from this crooked and unjust generation. So then, those who accepted his message and were baptized that day were 3,000 souls. They were added to the body of believers. Okay, now this is where we want to listen. They were continually and faithfully devoting themselves to the teachings of the apostles, to fellowship, to eating meals together, and to prayers. A sense of awe was felt by everyone, and many wonders and signs and miracles were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed in Jesus as Savior were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing the proceeds with all the others, anyone who had need. Day after day, they met in the temple area, continuing with one mind and purpose, breaking bread in various private homes. They ate their meals together with joy and glorious hearts, continually praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were being saved. How does that sound? Does that sound like a good assignment? Little bit more condensed version. Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Let each of you repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Let's jump down to 42. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, which we call communion, and to prayer. All the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So if that's what the first church is doing, guess what? We're to be doing those same things. So today and next Sunday, we're going to look at some of the things that we just learned and heard about. So I'm going to go ahead and give them to you. That way you'll have them. There's six of them. And we're going to just look at a few of them this morning. So six things that the church should look like. Six things that the church should look like. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. So we already did that one last. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. And why were they empowered? So they could feel good, so they could get tingles, so they could pass out. All that might have happened. But why were they empowered? To be witnesses of Jesus Christ. Remember, to be witnesses means more than just to witness. So they were empowered to witness, but also to become witnesses. Number two. They gathered for teaching. Hey, you all already did that. You can check that one off. You're here this morning, gathered for teaching. Number three, they prayed together. Prayed together. So that means they could have prayed for one another. But they also could have prayed for things happening in their world and for people who needed to know Jesus. They prayed together. Number four, they had a united purpose. So when you have a united purpose, that means that all of us can put our energy together, even as Pastor Steph mentioned in worship, where she said we can all come together like an army. You know, you can't go after the enemy just one-on-one. But what a difference you make. Remember what the word says? One puts how many to flight, Marty? Yes. And a couple? Did you see the difference? One 1,000. But if you put two together, now it's 10,000. 10 times as many enemies when we do it together. They had a united purpose. Number five, they praised God together. Hey, we did that one this morning too. We're doing pretty good. Praised God. Praised God. And number six, they were, and I'll repeat it, they were out in the community sharing the gospel message and representing Jesus. They were out in the community sharing the gospel message and representing Jesus. Remember it said the people, they had goodwill with the people, or the people felt good when they saw what the church was doing. They affected the community. So they were out in the community, sharing the gospel message, and representing Jesus. Okay, number one, they were empowered by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. Number two, they gathered for teaching. Number three, they prayed together. Number four, they had a united purpose. Number five, they praised God together. And number six, they were out in the community sharing the gospel message. And the gospel message means the good news, the gospel message, and representing Jesus. So we're going to look at these, some of these, together this morning and the rest next Sunday. So do you want to be challenged today in your Christian life? See, when I come, I don't want to just be taught. I want to be challenged. Because when we're challenged, what happens? We have an opportunity to grow. Okay? So I'm hoping some of my message today challenges you and gives you the opportunity to grow. And last time we met, we asked the Holy Spirit to empower us. So let's add to that today and send us out on a mission. Right? Send us out on a mission. Empowered to be witnesses. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. So we did. We asked the Holy Spirit to come, just like he did there at the beginning, when the wind came and the fire came and settled on all of them. So today we're going to look at gathering together. Gathering together. So it's a little bit different. A few years ago, we changed our wording in our bulletin, if you noticed. We didn't call this our Sunday morning service. We called it our Sunday AM gathering. Because we shouldn't come with the attitude that I'm coming in Sunday morning and the worship team and the pastor is going to serve me something. We should say, let's come together and see what God does with us collectively. We're the saints, the family of God. So Sunday morning should be a gathering, not a service. In Acts 11, the church in Jerusalem had heard that there were a number of believers now in Antioch. So what they did, they said, okay, well, we have all these believers, but they don't have any teaching. They don't have any leaders. So they sent Barnabas, and his name means the encourager, and that was actually his nickname. His name was Joseph, but the whole church said, yeah, he's an encourager. So he got the nickname Barnabas. They sent Barnabas to them. Then Barnabas went and got Saul and brought Saul, the teacher, who would soon be the apostle. And this is what it said. It came about that for an entire year, they gathered together. See, that's what we're looking at this morning. Gathering together. They gathered together with the church and taught a considerable number. So remember it said that they were coming together to be attentive to the apostles' teaching. So here in Antioch, we see the same thing at the early church. And this is the first time that the gathering of believers were called Christians. And they met there together for a year, just to be taught and encouraged by Barnabas and Saul. That was from Acts 11. In Hebrews 10, it says, let us not neglect. Let us not neglect. That means turn away from. And that means keep it as a good habit. You know, we all have good habits and we have bad habits. And once we have a habit, boy, they're hard to break. You talk to someone who has been trying to stop smoking or trying to stop some other habit that they had developed and they just wish that they wouldn't do anymore. It's difficult. There's research on the number of times you have to stop doing something before it stops becoming a habit that you do without hardly thinking. It's a big number. It's a couple hundred times. So don't give up if you're working on stopping a bad habit. You just have to keep stopping and keep stopping and keep stopping. And eventually, it will no longer be a habit. It would have to be something you decide. Well, a good habit is developed in, like, let's say if it's 200 to stop a bad habit, and I don't remember the literal numbers anymore, 40 to 50 times to do something, you've developed a good habit. And so now it's become part of your life that you'll just do it automatically. So this word that says, do not neglect gathering together, that means keep it as a good habit so that it doesn't start to become something that you have to actually think about and decide to. Do not neglect meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. Ah, so we got a key there. We're to encourage one another not only to gather together, but when we gather together, we encourage one another. Okay, did you understand what I just said? So we're to encourage one another to gather together, and then when we get together, we encourage one another. So that means when I see you here, that encourages me. When you're not here, that could discourage me and the people sitting near you. Because we all know what seats have your names on. So when you're not here, we can look up and go, ah, Jack and Nancy aren't here. I hope they're okay. I wonder if they're sick. They might be traveling. Maybe they had a family event, you know, whatever. So like today, Adam and Becky are in the Poconos with their kids for a Memorial Day weekend. Sonny and Cindy are at a cabin. And Pastor Kurt is speaking at another church. But he said, Trish and the boys. So when we come together, that encourages one another. And when you can't be here, you could discourage one another. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another. There's that word that I used earlier. Did you want to be challenged in your Christian life this morning? Think about what a coach does. A coach motivates you to play the game a little bit better this week than you did last week. Okay? So when we gather together and you worship and we pray and you hear the word, it is to motivate you to become more Christ-like. Well, that can't happen if we're not gathered together. So when we gather together, we're to encourage one another, but we're also to motivate. And listen what it says we're motivating each other to do. This is in Hebrews 10. And motivate one another to acts of love and working to help others. Isn't that exciting? That when we get together, we can say, hey, Marlon, did you talk to your neighbor this week? Well, of course he did, but you know, I'm still probably going to ask. And so we're motivating one another to acts of love and working to help others. Got that? Okay. So those are some positive things that happen when we get together. How about when we don't? Are there any negative things that happen? Okay. A couple things that happen when we don't gather together. Our relationships are affected. How many of you saw that over this past year? Yeah. Why? Because we're no longer doing life together. When we gather together, we're doing life together. I get to hear when you're celebrating something. Okay? I won't point out any ages, but let's say, okay, last week, Nancy turned 55. Yay, we can celebrate, okay? Or you had a grandchild or whatever it was. You had one this year. Woohoo! How many now? Four. Or grandchildren. Yay! See, so we celebrate the good things. Then we also get together so we can support and encourage each other through the challenging times. And we, as we've been able, we've been trying to be an encouragement to Mike and Laura and Sarah and the family through their difficult times. But if we don't gather together, our relationships are hindered because we don't know those things about each other and we can't be there for one another. So what happens when we don't gather? Our relationships are affected. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another. Oh my goodness, there it is again. If you want to do a study about this and say, you know, what I'm not sure what all Pastor Steve was talking about, do a study of together or one another. It is all through the New Testament. And so I could have kept you here for hours, but I chose to be kind and just pick a couple. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another. Some translations say edify. That's not a word I use in my everyday language, so I like to put it into vernacular that we all understand. Build up one another. So build up means you're doing more than just encouraging, you're actually adding to someone's life. Okay, building. You're actually taking something and giving it to someone else that's building up their life. So if you come in and I see that you're discouraged, or I see that maybe there's something I can do to help in a practical way, a spiritual way, okay, can I pray for you? Can I give you some, well, I saw you aren't collecting clothes, but when we work, can I give you a bag of clothes to take to the Dream Center to help you do your ministry there? So I'm adding to your life. When we get together, we're to encourage and build up one another. And again, the opposite happens when we don't. If we don't gather, we can't encourage one another. We can't build up one another. And sometimes you're the person who's doing the encouraging and building up, but maybe 2 weeks from now, you're the person who needs the encouragement and to build up. So that's what it's like to be a body, to be a family of God. Okay, that's number one. When we don't gather, our relationships are affected. Our relationships are affected. Number two, when we don't gather, we may find ourselves tempted, or we may even believe a lie. We find ourselves tempted, or we may even believe a lie. Okay, Pastor Steve, what do you mean by that? A couple examples. So, you haven't come to church for a little while, and you're sitting at home, and you think, you know what? I don't need anybody. I can do this myself. Okay. Maybe you can, maybe you can't, but you might have a rough situation and then you wish that you did have other people to encourage you and build you up and edify you. Or sometimes you start to believe a lie. You're sitting at home and you haven't been at church for a while, and you haven't been doing life with the body of Christ. And so then you end up thinking, you know, I'm not sure they even really care about me. So the enemy uses that opportunity to sow a seed of untruth. And what do we do sometimes? We let that stay in our mind, and now we believe that lie. You know, if Pastor Steve really cared about me, he wouldn't just call me every other week. He'd call me every other day, or whatever the number is. You know, or, you know, I haven't heard from Pastor Kurt or Pastor Van or Pastor Steph or whoever. So we can find ourselves tempted. We can find ourselves believing a lie. James says, temptation comes when we are carried away and enticed by our own desires. So yes, that means that we're carried away by our desires, but it also means when we're separated from others, it's easier to be tempted and enticed. You know, when you're with a fellow believer and you're out somewhere, more than likely you're going to help each other make healthy decisions. If it's a good relationship there and you're both following the Lord. So we, when we're with others, we are not as easily tempted or enticed. But when we're at home by ourselves, and look, we had weeks when we were at home by ourselves, we can be tempted or enticed. We need each other. We need to challenge each other. Proverbs describes it as iron sharpening iron. You know, when you hear metal scraping metal, I don't really like that sound. It's like chalk on a chalkboard, right? But the result is, if you've ever used a metal file, you're taking off the rough edges. Now, maybe none of you have rough edges. I'm 64, and I just turned that this month, and I still have rough edges. Yeah, just ask my wife. This boy still has some rough edges. But it's in relationship, when we rub up against each other, that we can file off some of those rough edges. And then your goal is, when you're iron sharpening iron, is that now it's shiny. You rubbed off some of the rough spots. You rubbed off the tarnish. So we increase each other's shine and effectiveness by iron sharpening iron. And you can only do that in relationship. Some of us through the years, I've been here 30 years, some of us through the years, we've had a few sparks, but we're still here together. We may have sharpened each other a little bit. So we find out whether or not we're believing lies when we're in relationship. And again in James, and James is such an interesting book. The Holy Spirit, as you know, inspired each of the writers to write the word, but James is very practical. If you ever get to the point you need just some practical advice, he does a great job making things down to earth, making things apply to my daily life. He says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all. Okay, so let's just pause there because I like to look at the words. You must. Oh, it doesn't say you could, you should, I think this is a good suggestion. Must. You must all. Oh, that means I don't get the squeeze out of this one. Okay? You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Ooh. Ooh, 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 ooh. So there we are back in relationship, aren't we? We're in relationship, and it says we have to be quick to listen. Okay, so I need to listen to what you have to say. I need to be slow to give my opinion and my advice. Doesn't say I don't, but it says I'm supposed to be slow. Quick to listen. Slow to speak. And here's the biggie for most of us. Slow to get angry. I'm listening, and I'm just not real thrilled with what you're saying. So what do I need to do? Slow to speak. Slow to get angry. Okay? Jesus helps. Right? I'll just say me. I should just keep it me. None, it doesn't apply to anybody else this morning. Slow to speak and slow to get angry. He also says, okay, remember we're talking about coming together and in relationship. Confess your sins to the Lord. Is that what he said? What? What? I thought that I went to the priest or I went to the Lord, but I certainly am not going to tell anybody else about my sin. Well, you just heard about a few rough ones this morning, and I've told you about a few rough ones before. Okay? Confess your sins one to another. And listen, there's a condition. There's a consequence. Confess your sins one to another and pray for each other. It doesn't say confess your sins one to another and judge one another. Confess your sins one to another and pray for one another. Hey, if you pray for me about that, I'll pray for you about that. Right? And, okay, you listening? I love the ands. And you will be healed. That sozo, that means saved, healed, and delivered, made whole. So if we want to be made whole, that's only going to happen in relationship as we confess our weaknesses one to another. You pray for me, I pray for you, and now we're whole. So I always like to look at, it's just the way my mind is, very logical. If that's the positive, then what's the negative? What's the opposite? The opposite means if I don't confess my sins and we don't pray for one another, I'm probably not going to be whole. Right? Right? Isn't that what that means? Okay. Confess your sins to each other. There's that Bible study again. Each other, one another. And pray for one another so that you may be healed. I need you, you need me. You need the person sitting behind you, in front of you, across the aisle from you. We need one another. Okay, so what happens when we don't gather together? Quick review. Number one, our relationships are affected. Number two, we're tempted and may believe a lie. Last one, number three, our faith may grow cold. Our faith may grow cold. Now I want to tell you a story. You may have heard this story if you're on social media. I don't know if it actually happened or if somebody wrote it as an illustration, but either way, it really helps us understand this point. So there was this man who came to church regularly. I don't know for how many years, but he came regularly. And the pastor noticed he wasn't there for a week or two. Okay, well, you know, maybe he wasn't feeling well. Maybe they were traveling, you know, birthday parties, who knows what, vacations. So then it was week three. John's not here again today. I don't think there's any John in our congregation. I had to think through names of, I don't think there's any. And so on the fourth Sunday, nope, not here. So pastor decides, okay, Monday morning I'm going to call John and see what's going on. So he calls John. Hey, John, I've noticed you weren't there the last couple weeks. Yeah. Could I stop in and have a chat with you? John thinks, well, pastor's calling me because he cares about me. Okay. All right, pastor, you can come over. How about next Wednesday? So it's the middle of the winter. So the pastor puts his winter coat on, his gloves. He drives over to John's house, knocks on the door. John invites him in. They go into the living room and they sit on two comfy chairs and there's a fire. Oh, that feels good in the winter. So they're sitting there. And remember, we just heard, slow to speak, slow to get angry, and quick to listen. So the pastor is listening to John, and John is explaining the reason, one of the reasons he hasn't been there. The pastor doesn't say anything. We're going to have to get Mother a hearing aid. I was purposely whispering. So the pastor didn't say anything, and they're just sitting there looking at the fire. So John says, well, I may as well give him my second reason. So John says, pastor, here's the other reason I haven't been coming to church. So the pastor's sitting there looking at the fire. Without saying anything, he gets up and he gets the poker, and he takes one of the logs and slides it away from the rest of the fire. And they're sitting there watching, and the log's still burning. And then the fire starts to go down on that log a little bit. And they're sitting there a little bit longer watching. Now all of a sudden that log is not even burning at all, it's smoking. Pastor doesn't say anything. He gets up and gets the poker, slides the log back over so it joins the rest of the logs. And in a minute, it's relit again, and it's part of the fire that's giving off light and warmth and heat. Pastor still hasn't said anything. So the pastor gets up and says, well, John, thank you for having me over today and explaining your reasons that you haven't been at church the last couple Sundays. And when he goes to leave, he says, pastor, thanks for coming over and letting me know you care. And by the way, you'll see me on. So our faith may grow cold. I need you. You need me. We need each other. Our fire, our warmth, and our light is greater together than separate. We encourage each other. We challenge each other. In Revelation 3:15, it says, God says, I know your deeds, that you're neither hot nor cold. So if you're not hot, you're not cold, what are you? You're lukewarm. I would prefer that you were either cold or hot. See, if you're cold, he can inspire you because you know you have a need to become hot. And if you're hot, you don't need inspired. But if you're lukewarm, you're satisfied. So we need to encourage one another. We need to gather together so that we can be on fire for the Lord. Is that what you want? That's what I want, right? Okay, so we're going to do some practical things today. We learned that when they get together, they celebrate the victories in each other's lives, but they pray for those that have need. So let's start with the victory. Who has something you want to stand, has something that they want to stand and share with us that Jesus helped you through recently? Something that's a victory. Something that you want to celebrate. And it could be, we had a grandchild, we celebrated a birthday, 50th wedding anniversary, whatever it is. Because we're doing life together. Okay? Who has something they want to share? A victory. Amen, amen. Well, how exciting to do life together. What an honor to pray for one another. So I want to challenge you a couple things this week. Remember that we're here to edify one another, encourage one another, challenge one another. And so if you see folks that aren't here today, just giving them a call and saying, hey, we missed you. I have a couple people I need to call because some of them usually let me know when they're not coming and not here, so I'm going to check on them. But it shouldn't be just the pastor. We're a family. And so if you look around and see someone not here, just call. Let them know you missed them. Say, hey, I hope to see you next Sunday. Then when you come next Sunday, I want to hear if you had any victories this week. So we're going to do the same thing. I want to hear if you had any victories or if you come with any needs. Amen? Does that sound good? You have a great week. Thanks for coming.